If your old habits and history still feel like they own you, let me show you why in Christ your old self is crucified, buried, and gone, and how to actually walk in resurrection power at work, in government, and in everyday life. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're having a fabulous day today, whether you're driving to work or sitting on the couch having a cup of coffee. I know God is with you and he's going to do some great things. Hey, we're going to dive into God's word in just a few moments. But before I do, if you enjoy these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. Also, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. Your generous support helps keep these kind of programs, our outreaches during legislative session, our comment on bills, all that going. And if you haven't checked out our mission and vision, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, we are in our sin series, Sin in My Life. And how does a Christian handle sin in their life? And so we've been diving into God's word, working through the book of Romans. And so Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 7. Or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So I know this is a little bit longer portion of scripture, and verse 3 we covered yesterday, but we're going to go back through it again. I love the therefore, and it's an outcome statement. You know, what's the old saying? What's the therefore? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So we talked about this last time. It's a spiritual baptism and a physical baptism. We've seen that happen once, an outward sign of our inward faith. And so God spiritually baptizes us into Jesus Christ, into his death. And there's a reason. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Think about this. You're not here just to die. You're here so that you can raise from the dead through the glory of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's remember the gospel message. What is that gospel? It says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So the first part of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So there's death, there's burial, there's resurrection on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So that is the gospel message, death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ. And Paul is reminding us in the book of Romans here, chapter 6. He says, hey, you've been baptized into Christ. You've been baptized into his death. Okay, you've died. Therefore, having been buried. Do you see that? You've been buried with him. If you've died with Christ, you've been buried with Christ. Have you thought about that? When Jesus hung on that cross and he was dying on the cross, you died with him. It's by faith through grace. And when he went into that tomb, you were in that tomb with him. It says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. I love this. Think about that. It's so, so significant. But there's a reason. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Okay, so this gospel that we have has an outcome that goes beyond just the cross. The cross is the starting point. the evidence that you are on the cross is the tomb. The resurrection is the end game. And the newness of life that comes out, the appearance that comes out of us, is what God is so incredibly, not concerned, but he wants for us. And so when you think about these so statements, so we too might walk in the newness of life. God has given you everything you need to walk in newness of life today. Now think about that for a moment. You're walking into that place of work. You're surrounded by people who maybe don't love Jesus, and they're doing all the things that are contrary to the word of God. And you are the newness of God walking into that workplace today. That is powerful. That is something to think about, because you think about your divine appointments today to share the gospel message, both through the way that you live and through the words that you use that will glorify and honor God today. You are walking in newness of life today. You say, I don't feel like I'm walking. I don't care what you feel like. I'm telling you, if you've died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, the newness of life comes. Jesus is still not in the grave. He has risen. He has risen indeed. So you are united with Christ. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, look at that. If we become united in the likeness of his death, so many of us have a half gospel message playing out in our life. We always think about what we're supposed to stop doing. Stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing that sort of thing. And even this series, the Sin series, you think, oh, these are all the things we aren't supposed to do. But in this series, I'm reminding you that Jesus has set you free from all that stuff. From worry, from all the things of profanity, all the things of the sinful sexualities that God has called off limits. God has set you free from all that. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You can't have a half gospel expression. Well, you can, but we shouldn't have a half gospel expression. The entire gospel message, the same amount of what you should not do that dishonors and disobeys God, the same amount of what God has empowered you to do to bring glory and honor is dwelling inside of you. And not in the future, today, right now. Look at this. Your body of sin has been done away with. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. The old Brian Noble, crucified with Christ. The old, say your name, crucified with Christ, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Your body of sin and this body has been done away with. So when we disobey God now, it's out of foolishness, it's out of ignorance. We no longer say, God, I know what you have to say about this, but I'm going to do it anyways. I don't care. We are people of faithfulness to Almighty God. That we walk in that faithfulness each and every day. You are no longer a slave to sin. Look at this. So the body of sin is done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. You're not obligated to sin any longer. Isn't that fun and exciting? Like, you're showing up today and you're thinking, well, my mouth is just going to get away from me. No. No, you don't have to have it. God can get control of your mouth if you allow him to. Well, I'm just a lustful person. I just can't control those desires. You're a child of the King. You've been bought with a price. You've been set free. You are no longer a slave to sin. Now, you may be an elected official today and you say, well, I got to please the people. No, you just got to please God. You may be a pastor today and you're sitting on the fence of whether you should talk about cultural issues or hide out in the church and just somehow just hunker down. No, you're no longer a person of fear. Why? Your body of sin, the fear of man, is no longer inside of you. Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. You're not a slave to that sin. Well, wait. In my DNA, in my DNA is addiction. Really? God says otherwise. God says, you have a propensity to do righteousness today, to walk in newness of life today, to bring honor and glory to Almighty God today. Well, I just, my parents struggled with that. In my childhood, I had this injustice and I just didn't have the right. You're not a slave to any of that any longer. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In his house, in his family, is freedom. Is freedom, hear me, so that we no longer are slaves to sin. Sin is not our master anymore. This next point, you've been set free from sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Can you say amen to that? You have been set free from sin. So whatever it is for you, you know, yesterday we went through that whole laundry list to show you that sin is in the Bible. Let's say like you struggle with overeating and you are a glutton. You're free from that. That old self has died. It's no longer your master. You say, well, I still struggle. My stomach still calls out. I get it. Tell your stomach to line up with your spirit. Well, I eat because I'm nervous. I get it. I understand. It takes self-control. Ask God to help you with that. You say, well, I don't know. I just worry a lot. No. In your Father's house, there are many mansions. Why would you worry one bit? You're not the Father. The only one that needs to worry is God, and he knows all things, so he's not worrisome. Now think about that. You've been set free from worry. Why? You say, because I know who my God is. God is able. He is a God who can do far more than I could ever dream of or imagine. You've been set free from sin. So what's our application? You've been buried with Christ. You say, how does that apply to my day today? You're a dead man walking. What? Yeah, you've died to self today. You're not easily offended. You're not upset over every situation. God is walking with you today, and you are walking in the newness of life today that he has provided through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. So if you're a legislator today, you get the great privilege and honor opportunity to make laws that glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not to please men. You get the great opportunity to be faithful. If you're a ditch digger, or I don't know, whatever you might want to be, you get the opportunity to do that for the glory of God in the newness of life today. You have been united with Christ in both parts of the gospel, death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. Isn't that powerful? And you're no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free from sin. So walk in that newness of life today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so, so very thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that we have died with him. God, that we have died with him, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, through repentance. We've turned to God and we've turned to you and asked for forgiveness of sins. And by grace, through faith, you have saved us, God. God, we love you so very much. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory that's due your name. God, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you have placed inside of us. And so, Lord, help us to be a light to the lost. That God, let us be a comfort to those who are mourning. Let us be salt of the earth, standing for righteousness and holiness in the public square. Give us this day our daily bread, God. We need you so, so very much. God, let us lead our neighbor, our coworker, somebody to Jesus Christ today so that they can experience this freedom from slavery of sin that you have given us. We thank you for what you want to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.